years ago, I was in Kansas City, and there was a 18-year-old woman who had gotten off work, and she was attacked, raped, stabbed repeatedly, stuffed in the trunk of her car, and dumped. And Gary Tippett, who's in the Dart Society, always calls this the death knock. You know, you go to the door and you ask to speak to, you know, the father and the mother. Well, I went to the door and I talked to the father, and I said, and the way I described it to him is, I said, you know, I don't know anything about your daughter, but I do know that as a father myself, I wouldn't want the last memory of her being this horrible incident. I'm sure she had a wonderful life, and that's the story I want to tell. I want to tell the portrait of your daughter. And he appreciated that approach, but he was nowhere near ready to talk to me. So we chatted briefly, and then I left, and then I called the desk and said, look, you know, this guy is not going to talk. But I was surprised, because the next morning he called me and he said, I don't want to talk to you, but my son does, and he wants to do the story that you talked about. So I came out to the house, and I arrived, and the father was there at the door, and he said, I've lost a daughter. If you mess with my son, I'm going to kill you. And I said, I appreciate where you're coming from, and I have no intention of doing that. And this gets back to what Ruth was talking about, the conditions. When this kid sat down, you know, he's 16 years old, and he had painstakingly gone through every photo album of himself and his sister and wanted to map her life out in front of us with pictures and words. And you can imagine how painful this was for this guy. I mean, he was so close to his sister. There were only two children in this family. And I remember saying to him, you know, at any point you want to stop this, you just say the word. And one of the things I've been noticing about you and the audience the last couple of days is I noticed the speakers, a lot of times they'll look at Frank. And I think this gets at what I think is really important about interviewing. It's not so much about this. It really isn't. It's much more about this and your eyes, and in many cases, your hands. Just a simple something like that. And this kid, I'll tell you, the first question I asked him, his lips started to quiver, and I said, do you want to stop? And just having that control that we would turn the camera off, he said, no, I'm gonna get through this. And I'll tell you what, I think it was one of the best stories I ever did, and I poured as much of my heart into that story as that kid did in front of me. And the amazing thing to me was the story aired, it was our lead story at 6 p.m., At 6:15, the homicide detectives were on the phone to me, and they wanted to come and look at that videotape. This kid's too close to his sister. There's something wrong here. And I'll never forget, the person who was editing the story was like, I'm going to kill the homicide detectives. He was so angry about this. But I think, again, if I were to say anything, I'd just amplify what you said. Conditions beforehand. I never do the pre-interviews because, from my standpoint, I don't want somebody to have to relive that twice. I would rather make small talk and that sort of thing, and then allow them to tell the story on camera. And then again, you know, I think the key thing is being present, being there. Not, you know, if your eyes are going like this and you're trying to think of your next question, and they see that you're not present with them, I think that's, to me, that's a huge violation. So I try not to, I just try and bounce off of what they're saying and be there for them.